welcome to the New 52 Review, episode 15. I'm here with Eric Shea. How you doing?
Hey, that's me.
That is you. And we're here to talk about Batwoman Volume 1, Hydrology. Written by J.H. Williams III, W. Hayden Blackman. Very fancy names these guys have. Art by J.H. Williams III, Dave Stewart, and Todd Klein. And the first issue of Batwoman did come out in September 14th, 2011. And the trade that we're talking about came out June 13th of 2012. Now, if you are going and you are collecting issues, singular issues, I was under the assumption that this was a trade that had issues 1 to 5, which it does. But
yes,
it is a problem. If you are actually getting these in single issues, you're going to be missing out a little bit of the beginning because there is a zero issue, which is confusing for me and Eric because there was a zero month, a zero month that happened in September.
Took place between issues 12 and 13.
Yeah, 12 and 13, where a lot of the things were hey, we're going to give you a background of the character. We're going to do something like
that. We're going to give you an origin, a year one, or a revamp where the series is going to go going forward.
Yeah. And the funny thing is when we do these New 52 reviews, the ones that started out the first wave, that zero issue will be somewhere in, the second or third trade, probably the third trade, actually. But the second wave of books has that in their first volume. So you got a hold of me and said, I was looking into this. There is a zero issue because we have individual issues for this.
Yeah.
So you said there's a zero issue. I said, it can't be that, quote unquote, zero issue because that came out after the trade was released.
Like, we're going back and forth. Like, you're sending me a link to the volume 3 of the Batwoman. Like, look, it says zero right here. And I'm like, I sent you a link to the volume 1. Says zero right here.
Zero
so what
you
gonna
there.
Do?
So the weird thing about this is there was a zero issue written by J.H. Williams and W. Hayden Blackman, pretty much this creative team, that came out in January of 2011. So it was months and months before the New 52 even started that it was kind of a peek at what this was going to be, because it is part of the Bat family. Though when me and you first started talking about comics and we started getting in the New 52, you would tell me all the time, Batwoman ain't no part of no Bat family. But it looks like, obviously reading this, we both agree, this is one of those that the continuity of Batwoman continued on, at least the Greg Rucka Batwoman that started up pretty much in the weekly 52 series.
Yeah, it seems everything from 52 on was part of the continuity going in the New 52. And the reason it's so weird that we have this zero issue that was done so far ahead of the New 52 is because DC had planned on putting out a Batwoman book for a while, and they kept pushing it back until eventually, like, all right, look, we got this new reboot going on New 52. We're finally just going to do it with that. So it just kept getting pushed back because they kept promising that this Batwoman book was going to come out, and never did.
I would think that it was one of those where they didn't want to come out and say, hey, guys, there's going to be a reboot coming up. So they didn't say that right away, but they kept promising this Batwoman book. And at one point, it had to have been like, guys, we can't put out a new Batwoman book 3 months before we reboot.
Because
I said, even when I did the first back issues thing on our Patreon account, and I talked about the Flashpoint and stuff like that, the issue with that was you ended up – actually, it might have even been this podcast.
It
I can't remember.
Podcast,
it was this podcast where they announced the New 52. It was pretty quick to announcing it to it happening. They really kept it under wraps for a while. So, yeah, this was one of those books that was supposed to come out, which is also you can go with that it's pretty cool because if the New 52 didn't happen, this book probably would have been still like it is, intact for what it is.
Definitely.
So it starts off with this weird zero issue that even you said, as you go into, you even notice that Batman doesn't even have the New 52 bat suit.
No, he has the old freaking Grant Morrison freaking bat suit going on.
Yeah, so this was all kind of tied in. And I'll mention right now, this episode probably won't be that long because these five issues plus this zero issue that starts it off, not very long. A lot of spread pages, a lot of big, big panels with art and stuff like that. So I think they ended up saying, okay, maybe they weren't going to throw this zero in, but they're like, yeah, we need some page count because
people are going to bitch about the price point.
Yeah. I mean, this has to be one of the thinnest, trades that we've seen in it, especially already, since we started this. It's no Court of Owls.
No, not at all.
That thing was like a goddamn encyclopedia. But yeah, we'll start off with that Zero issue. I should mention we are the Weird Science DC Comics Podcast. Guys, we also have a Patreon account if you want to go there. It's patreon.com/weirdscience. The reason I bring that up is because when we put up this episode, you can actually go and get 2 week advanced on the next episode, which would be episode 16, Mr. Terrific Mind Games.
And people can't wait to get a hold people of some Mr. Terrific Mind Games.
People can't wait to get a hold of that Mr. Terrific Mind Games. But we start off this, and I got to get to my thing.
I just would have called it Head Games now.
Head Games! That'd be great. Yeah. Well, the beginning, this Zero issue that they ended up including here is basically Batman following Batwoman and Kate Kane to try to get... He has the theory that Kate Kane is Batwoman. And through this whole little beginning, we do find out. Obviously, we know that is the case, but Batman has been on this. And it's taken a while. I think that this shows that Kate is very careful. She's very good about what she does, because it's not like Batman in one day figures out it is. But also, no, I'll give Batman...
I actually thought it was a cool little like tie around to what we had at the beginning of Detective Comics in the Rebirth era, because, you know, Batman came to Kate Kane like, you know, I know who you are. I know it's you, Bruce, because of all the time that Batman put into trying to track down Batwoman in this and find out who she is and if it is Kate Kane or not. Kate Kane's like... Yeah, I knew it was you, Batman, like Bruce Wayne and freaking Detective Comics Rebirth.
Yeah, it's pretty good. And the one thing I will mention before we go on anymore, because you brought that up, I do think that a lot of these trades that we do talk about, and a lot of the people who listen are people who jumped on with Rebirth. A lot of the trades aren't something that I can say like, hey, what you know in the Rebirth can really go towards what you can read in this trade and whatnot. Now, they are volume ones that we're still dealing with, so they should be able to get you going right off the bat. But this one is one of those that if you like Kate Kane in Detective Comics, I don't know who likes her in her own solo series. Well, we personally do not. But if you do like Kate in Detective Comics and want something more, it's weird. You can jump right into this. To me, you have a lot of background already because her father, Jacob's in this, and it's some stuff that we dealt with, especially if you were if you like that Detective Comics, that two-issue arc that they had to, I think it was like Batwoman Reborn, you know. The one that led into her solo book. I think that you can easily come into here. Now, there is some things that get thrown in that you have to kind of wonder about But I'm just saying Kate, Jacob, like the main characters.
I'm saying, though, even with that, if you are a fan for some reason of Batwoman Rebirth, and like they do talk about in the Zero issue about how the 2 years that Kate Kane was like just missing, you know, before she came back and became Batwoman, that goes into that lost year in the freaking Batwoman Rebirth series.
Yeah. So it all makes sense. Now, I by the time we get done and we, give our review scores, you'll see that me and Eric differ a little bit on this trade. But I would take this any day over that solo series that she has right now in Rebirth. And I think that as we go through this, the only thing that I have a problem with this trade is it ends before the story really seems to pick up.
And that is my sucks main. Because I'm telling you, right as the volume is ending, that's right when I started getting into the story. And it's over. I'm like, God damn it.
Which it does. It does continue on.
Which,
trade,
if you want to say that that's cool for a cliffhanger aspect that makes you want to pick up the next trade, that is kind of cool because I did want to dive right into the next trade at that point and the conclusion of the story.
That's the issue here. I think that when we talk, and Reggie is big on the, that'll read better in trade. I actually think this would read better as individual issues. As it was coming out, getting it each month, I think that it would read a lot better than how they had to do this trade. You know, they chopped it off there at issue 5, and you are left kind of like, God damn it, it just got really, really good. But this intro deal, Batman's following Kate around. She's fighting some bad guys, the Religion of Crime gang, kind of crazy with Sister Shard, their leader, and Kate is doing, and it really is a very dynamic style of art. When you have J.H. Williams' art, there's a lot of tumbling and a lot of jumping.
That was
a lot of the cool aspect to me
about the early Batwoman series, where I don't think it's actually quite there as much now, is that The red just really pops when she's in the Batwoman costume. The red cape, yeah, the boots,
the red
and her
and
hair,
the black, like, especially.
Yeah, it totally just like the pops off the goddamn page, and I think it works so well in the series.
And J.H. Williams is one of those guys, kind of like how I fell in love with Francis Manapul, and even you could even go as far as Juan Ferreira in the Rebirth. Is he really does play with the way it's the layouts? These are not standard layouts as the art goes. Sometimes it gets a little confusing because of that. But I really do like it. You have a couple times where the Batwoman symbol is actually the panel and things like that. But as we go on, you just see Batwoman just beating the crap out of this cult while Bruce is watching. And he's doing his detective work. And it is good detective work where he's like, okay, she's used this move. That's something that's street fighting. Huh, I didn't expect that. But you know what? That thing that she just did, that's military style. And you know what? Kate was in the military. And you get a decent enough background, too, about, you know, oh, she was at West Point. She got kicked out because of the don't tell, don't ask policy, stuff
don't
like
ask,
that.
Don't tell.
Yeah, don't ask, don't tell. And so you do get a little background of that, but you also see crazy Bruce throughout this whole intro. He's dressing up. I think he just enjoys dressing up.
Less about finding out who Batwoman is and more about, hey, I got a bunch of disguises.
Oh, I think that's all he's doing.
I want to play dress up.
Yeah, I think after he sees this fight, you know, with the religion of crime, I think he knows 100% it's Kate, but he still has a lot of costumes.
I got some downtime going on. I have all these costumes.
I have the homeless veteran costume with my I Love Veterans cup.
I have douchebag at the bar still wearing his sunglasses.
Yeah, I have douchebag at the bar. I have a young thug. It's so good.
I have clumsy librarian.
Yes. Oh, yeah, clumsy librarian. He has all these disguises, but it does well to show you what Kate's fake life is all about. And it does mirror the Bruce Wayne deal. It mirrors a lot of that sort of thing where, yeah, she goes out clubbing, she takes home the ladies, but at one point it even shows, it looks like she realizes that Bruce is on her tail, whether she knows it's Bruce or not. But like you said, in Rebirth, kind of spelled out that she did. And maybe she's even having fun with all this. But yeah, there's douchebag at the bar with sunglasses. Bruce,
that was my favorite disguise. I'm like,
you like that one?
You're at a goddamn club in the middle of the night and you have to wear your sunglasses, Bruce. Come on.
He's singing Sunglasses at Night by Corey Hart there. And he goes and he's in the library. Librarian Bruce actually is my favorite. And he's there and he's like, okay. He's there and he does see her with Bette, her cousin. So it's like, okay.
Flamebird.
Kate's with Bette.
He knows that she is part of the Teen Titans at this point. So this even really draws to more of a conclusion. Yep. Maybe it runs in the family besides for the whole Wayne and Kane connection.
Yeah.
Where, all right, her cousin is a superhero. It makes me think that, you know, Kate might be as well.
Yeah, and the weird thing is, reading this, as you're reading through it, you get this whole thing of the, you know, she's in the Teen Titans. She even mentions it later. Yeah. And you're like, what the hell? But again, this was kind of before, and maybe something was going to go on. Who knows? But yeah.
And I got to wonder to myself, how long was this done before the New 52 happened? Because they had announced stuff. So in my mind, they had gotten stuff done well ahead of time.
Yeah, well, this was January. That's almost a year ahead of time that they did this little intro.
Well, not even this. I just mean the actually New 52 series. If they had gotten that done ahead of time, because they talked about how it was supposed to come out, and in my mind, J.H. Williams would have gotten it done well ahead of time, and they just had to sitting and waiting for the New 52 to happen.
And then, it doesn't make sense in the New 52 with Bette saying that. But even so, Bruce knows who that is and bumps into Kate to see what book she's reading. It's typical stuff like this.
Yeah,
like,
right now
you
she's researching the cult.
A socialite wouldn't be researching the occult, and it's kind of like, okay, you were just fighting the religious cult, and now you're looking up books about religious cults. So it's like, okay, this makes sense. And then you go back and forth. She is actually after a sarcophagus that is there and looks like, you know, there's going to be somebody willing to kill about this. She uses this explosive to freaking shard. Her hand gets ripped off. It's pretty
crazy.
Sister
shards, yeah. It's the whole thing where she, like, you know, Kate Kane is being able to take care of herself, Batwoman. As Batman watches from the distance, you know, okay, she could take out all the rest of these guys, but Sister Shards has this freaking cybernetic hand. She was not ready for that, but easily takes her out by putting an explosive device on the hand, fucking blowing it up.
Yeah, it blows it up. You actually have Bruce then dressing up as douchebag criminal Bruce. Looks a little sexy to me, but he heads out. And I do like the way that it's spelled out because he's there about to attack Kate, who's just at a convenience store. And he says to himself, you know, I have to fake intending to harm, because he's afraid, you know, if Kate's really going to go 100% on, she's going to let him hit her over the head with a bat, and he's afraid, I think, that he's going to hurt her. So he tries to not...
especially if he's wrong about this whole thing, you know,
so he's trying not to do
Batwoman.
Yeah, so he's trying not to do it, and she goes to town, as they also show her beating the crap out of the other part of the cult. You know, it's a kind of a two-way deal.
Yeah, the top part of the page is usually like, you know, Bruce going through and trying to like, you know, actually it switches up halfway through, I believe.
Yeah, it does.
You know, half the page is Bruce's investigation into this, you know, all the stuff that he's doing. The bottom half is Batwoman going after the religion of crime.
So then you see her knock down Bruce and then look, and I didn't know if it was just she knew that was Bruce then, or the way he says, it's like she's looking like she'll never be a victim again, and it seemed very odd to me. Like,
yeah,
what,
that
gets
was a weird thing, because this is actually one of my favorite parts of the freaking Zero issue, though, because it actually shocks Bruce, because she uses a move that he's never seen
he's
before,
never
and it's something
before.
That she must have invented, and it really impresses him.
Yeah, and when he looks up, he's kind of like got a little smile, and I actually thought that was Kate realizing, oh no, it's Bruce. But the best is the final panel of that sequence is Bruce running away. He's got the weirdest running style. It looks like he shit his pants the way he's running.
In my mind, his disguise really hinged on that whole like you know,
the
pulling your
pants
down.
Yeah,
yeah,
it looks like
thing.
The droopy
trying
pants.
To run away with that.
And he's trying to run away without his pants falling down. Or he shit himself. I'm not sure. It just made me laugh so much the way he drew that it does seem like it's the droopy pants deal. But yeah, then this whole thing ends with Batman deciding, yep, it's Kate Kane. All right, I'm in.
Everything
Kate Kane
points
is Batwoman.
To this.
And now I may have some things to talk to her about. Obviously, we find out during the trade that it is that he wants her to join Batman Incorporated. Again, a big thing in the New 52 and a big thing for Grant Morrison before. So you have that whole deal. And it would make sense. That kind of I don't know if that's a play on that they had discussions behind the scenes. Like, listen, Batwoman isn't, and I'm talking about DC in general, Batwoman isn't a strong enough character to have her own book. Maybe we should throw her on Batman Incorporated, and then people could get her there. And no, we're going to have a book. And it kind of, to me, it seemed kind of like a joke, because when she's asked about, she thinks they're, you know, listen, I'm not going to change my costume and all this stuff.
I'm not
going to
take orders from Batman.
Yeah, so
I just got done, you know, having this whole thing with my father. We had a falling out. I'm not going to move from my father to Batman. That just shows a whole bunch of daddy issues I have if I do that.
And again, that goes very well into Detective Comics and Rebirth, I thought. So I said during this, I thought, boy, anybody who's reading Detective Comics and likes Batman could really just jump in and have some fun with this and enjoy it. But now we go into the proper.
And that's the thing is, when we did this properly, you know, like we actually had this freaking set up for a while where we had, you know, issues 1 to 5 ready to go. We've been reading them. And then like at the last second, 0 hour before we're about to record, fuck, there was a Zero issue. We had to figure out what the hell this is. And but when I read this first 5 issues of the New 52 Batwoman series, I thought it was a little hard to get into initially, because they were relying on a lot of people knowing what happened before going into this, instead of the whole, you know, universal reboot where, you know, little Jimmy Warner, I haven't been reading comics most of my life. I could jump in at number 1 and just get going from there. And when we jump into this issue, it relies on a lot of you knowing a lot of backstory to Batwoman and what came before, and like Greg Rucka's elegy run and shit like that.
It does. And, I just
found it a little off-putting. And the weird part I was talking to Jess, because when I was getting back in the DC Comics, was doing the New 52 stuff, I'd go to the comic book shop every week, and she wanted to like be a part of it and stuff like that. So she picked up Batwoman, so I'd end up – well, I ended up buying Batwoman. That's the one she wanted to read, but I'd buy it. And she would read it, and she was really into it, and I never actually read it. I just heard her talking to me about it. So when I read this, I'm like – how did you feel about this? Because there's no way you knew anything about the Teen Titans, Deathstroke, like Flamebird,
anything
like that.
I think people just gloss over that. There's no way that
she
even thought of that.
Yeah, she didn't seem to have any problem. She read this and thought she got everything she needed to know out of it. I'm like,
no.
Okay.
I mean, I think that the main thing that you get, and the main thing going on in the Batwoman New 52 deal, is one of the biggest things is Maggie Sawyer and Kate Kane's relationship. Yeah. So that's pretty much established here. You do have a couple weird things, again, that I can kind of fill in the blanks myself. There's a part at the very beginning when Kate sees, and we'll get to it in a second, when Kate sees a picture of Renee Montoya. And right. then as Maggie comes out, she kind of says, you know, Renee Montoya, you know, me and her used to. Yeah, I know. And, yeah. and that was enough for me. And I know enough about that. I just think really, to me, the main thing that you have to know is that her father is a, you know, a military guy who she has issues with and who is not really on the up and up, has done bad things. And you really do get that from, and I could even go, you know, Colony could be going on at this very moment right. As they're going. And I thought, okay, I think people can jump in. You have Batman in there. But yeah, there's the stuff on the fringe where it would really, you know, tie everything together. I do think that some people might be a little confused, but I think the basis of going in.
The first villain of this arc is this ghost character, the weeping woman. Who makes you feel the guilt and stuff like that. And like every time she goes against Batwoman, like we have this whole thing where it's, you know, Alice, her sister, you know, who took on that persona, Elizabeth Kane. She took on this persona of Alice, and it seemed that, like, you know, Batwoman believes she died by drowning here at the end. We had this whole background, like she kept seeing this. I'm like, I just didn't think it was all that well spelled out.
I thought that was okay enough because she even talks a bit to her father at it when we get to that and stuff like that. I think it was enough, and I don't think that was – it's a big part for Kate, but I don't think it was that much. And really, the whole thing really is a horror comic to be about children going missing. And, yeah, Kate has this thing, but this weeping woman – is definitely, it's not just, she's not just going after people who are guilty. She was just trying to do that to Kate. I mean, she's just grabbing kids left and right.
Yeah, yeah.
And going with, because she was a piece of shit, which we find out by the end, her whole backstory and what she did, that she does feel guilty. And she thinks that her kids, and knows her kids died because of her. But it starts off where she is there, this weeping woman out of nowhere. And it really does just throw you in where this ghost has come in and pretty much kidnap these kids and goes, and these parents are watching, trying to stop it. They can't. In the meantime, Batwoman busts in and attacks, and at least gets the ghost to go away. But the kids are gone.
But they don't know where the kids are.
Yeah, they're, and this is all the thing is, they're telling the story to Maggie Sawyer at the GCPD, talking to her about, you know, what they saw. Now, right
this
away,
this ghost woman came in. She took our kids. Batwoman came in, told us that she would. She promised to find our kids for us.
To find them. And you go, and there's big spread pages. You see craziness happening. But yeah, she promises that. Now, the one thing you have to go with is, in Rebirth, not too much of a supernatural presence in Rebirth in general.
Not right
we
now.
We don't have a lot. It really kind of, it didn't throw me off, but I was like, this is interesting, where they're telling the story to Maggie and like, oh, this ghost came into, not one point does she bat an eye to think, oh my God, you know, and it gets even worse later when the DEO shows up. Yeah. Oh yeah. This is where you have a full out dark universe going on where people accept all this. Maggie does not think, oh, you know what? You're crazy. You're nonsense or whatever.
And that was a cool thing about the Batwoman book back in the day. Cause why I wasn't reading this when it was coming out, I picked up some later trades and shit like that because Jessica told me about this stuff, but I picked up later trades and started reading those. Batwoman was a dark freaking book. It was a Gotham vigilante woman who took on the occult. You know, we have ghosts here. Later on, we have vampires and shit. I'm like, this is what it was all about.
No, at one point, the DEA shows up and Maggie just starts talking about, I know what happened here. There was a werewolf there. There was, vampires here. And I'm like, really?
The were animals.
Yeah, and I expect some things like that from the DEO. It actually threw me a little off that this was just standard GCPD. Procedure here. And Maggie even says, and you don't get Gordon at all in this, but she actually, and you do get a flashback, he is involved in this case, but it really focuses. I think they did a good job of just pretty much focusing it on Maggie because she is the most important deal of this. But as this is going on, you see the families coming out of the GCPD reception room with Maggie, and Kate happens to be there. And I guess Kate was there to make sure these people, I don't know. It is odd that she's there because she's just staring at the photos of the police officers. And that's when Maggie comes out and is like, Kate Kane, you know, what are you doing here? And then she says, I came to see you, but it just seemed odd, like out of the blue that she came to see. But she is focusing on the picture of Renee Montoya. And she's like, oh, you know what? You know, Renee Montoya, you know me and her. And like, yeah, I know. But it's kind of a cool
detective
panel. It's kind of a one point that it's pretty cool where everything on the panel is white. It's uncolored. It's just pencils except for the picture of Renee Montoya while Kate's looking at it. I thought that was a pretty cool little deal that they don't ever go back to, I don't think, in the rest of the deal. But I did like that. And Maggie's like, you know what? I asked you out before. You never called me, whatever. And Kate's like, you want to go out now? Tonight?
Beer in a band?
Like, okay. Yeah, beer in a band. She's like, I'm not that into beer, though it seems like she's going to be. And but yeah, they go out to a band. Now, they go back before that. You go back to see her, kind of her lair, the Batwoman lair, which is pretty cool.
I liked it.
And that's where you see Bette is there, her cousin, who is Flamebird. And, you know, they're talking about basically it is thrown in there. I'll tell you, it's
so odd too, because we're talking about Flamebird, right? You jump into this, you don't know who Flamebird is, but like, you know, she's talking about how she, you know, was with the Teen Titans, she fought Deathstroke, but all of a sudden, you know, Kate Kane is taking her under her wing, which just seems really forced out of nowhere for this. And like, all right, look, I threw away your goddamn Flamebird costume. I'm going to give you this a gray jumpsuit. I'm going to call you Plebe. That's all you're going to do, which is, you know, what you call
term.
A new cadet in the freaking military.
I actually didn't mind that, because I actually made it seem to me that they were going to say, like J.H. Williams and he was saying, and Blackman were saying, listen, if you don't know who Flamebird is, it doesn't matter. We're getting rid of her costume. She's just going to train now, though. It kind of goes back to it later, which then was a little odd. But yeah, she wants this Flamebird costume. And Kate's like, no, you know what? We don't need that gaudy costume of yours anymore, that garish costume. As she's putting on one of the craziest over-the-top costumes in the Bat family, the Batwoman costume. So she's like, you know, you don't need that thing. And yeah, it's just a gray freaking overalls and a really
a
bad
gray domino mask.
Yeah, a domino mask. So they're going to go train. And as we go from there, and that's where I said that's one of the ones where you have the panel layout as the Batwoman symbol with flames and freaking lightning and stuff.
It's half Batwoman, half Flamebird.
Yeah, half Flamebird. It's pretty crazy. It's pretty cool. But yeah, then we go, and that's where we see what you were talking about, the DEO. We go to the DEO. We see Cameron Chase talking to Director Bones.
The thing is, too, and I was telling you before we got on today, because, you know, like I've been saying, like Jessica read this whole thing, and I did not get into Batwoman right away because I had a bunch of other books I was reading, and Batwoman wasn't really something that I was thinking I had to read, because like I was always telling you, in my mind, Batwoman was not part of the Bat family, so I didn't need to deal with it. Yeah. And she would tell me about this shit. She's like, oh yeah, she's like, you know, there's Director Bones and he's part of the DOA. I'm like, oh, the DOA, that's a weird thing.
DOA,
I've never heard of that.
Nonsense.
So that just might be something
it's
for
the
this
dead
whole
on
thing.
Arrival gang.
And now I'm reading this, I'm like, god damn it, it was the DEO
you
the
might
entire
have been
time.
Involved.
I
would have
talked about Cameron Chase and the Supergirl book with all this. Yep. God damn it.
Yep. Yeah, we would have brought it up. But yeah, this is the first
last time I
jumping take into this.
Notes from her about comics.
Yeah, DOA. But yeah, they're talking about they're going to go to Gotham. The DO is going to go to Gotham. Cameron Chase really is going to go to Gotham because they want to know who this Batwoman is. You know, that is a big thing. They obviously have been trying to get Batman and figure out who Batman is.
It's all dead ends.
Now, yeah, and it's all dead ends. And it's funny, too, as this goes on, they do a really good job of pointing out something we've talked about before, especially when we even had the Batman, Scott Snyder's Batman start and stuff like that, where, and Catwoman as well, where if you get close to Batman, it's hard to get close to Batman, but once you get close to Batman, it's hard to get close to you because he makes sure that everything is wiped clean.
And I thought that was really cool later on. Like, when we find out, like, that he has wiped Flamebird, fucking Bette Kane's freaking, and like the Dick Grayson whole thing where everything
and
was Cat wiped
Woman.
Out. And
yeah,
Catwoman,
they
I'm sorry.
Wipe out
yeah.
everything.
And I thought it was so cool that he actually went the route, okay, well, it's Batwoman,
and
she has
and
Flamebird.
And it continues
Flamebird
such a nice
out.
Continuity of that he does this
no
for
DNA,
everybody.
No DNA, no fingerprints, no background, nothing.
Yeah, and it's cool because it's cool thing as they explained it later that you get, you know, we can't get close to Batman, and when you get close to him, we can't get close to you either, and it's crazy. they're just talking about, you know, they want to go there and get Batwoman. In the meantime, by the end of the trade, you find out they want him.
I love the fact, though, when we have the DEO show up and Cameron Chase is put on this Batwoman project and she has to go to Gotham, which she is not happy about.
Yeah.
We have Director Bones there, Mr. Bones.
Yep.
And nobody bats an eye or even discuss the fact that he's a goddamn walking, talking skeleton.
Nope.
Just love
it. Until a little later where Kate mentions it slightly. About how, you know, I've been running into a lot of dead people around here. But yeah, you go then and you go back to Gotham where you have, that's just where you see in a flashback, it seems. Or it may not even be a flashback. It's just that another case, you do see Gordon this little bit where they're going through, you know, another missing kid. Like all these kids end up missing. You're near the water. Maggie is aware of this, you know, urban legend of the weeping woman, a woman who ends up, you know, her kids drowned. She let them drown and then she killed herself and now is going back to grab kids and things like that. And that is where we see Pandora. Eric, were you looking
for
Pandora? I was
not looking again.
I think that this is probably the craziest, hardest Now, we're only in a couple, you know, volumes. This is crazy because are you on the page?
Is it the top right? There she is.
It's on the top right, just her head peeking out of the crowd, watching as Gordon and Maggie are going through things. And it's all the talk about this weeping woman is a vengeful spirit that's coming back.
Yeah, it's a weeping woman, or also known as a woman in white.
Yeah, woman in white. And you have this where they're trying to, you know, figure out what's real, what's not, what's going on. And again, like I said, it's not like nobody's batting an eye. You know, this is actually a lead of an urban legend of a vengeful spirit. And
because
even
if it's a vengeful spirit or not, this is Gotham. Anything can fucking happen.
Yeah. And then you go, and really the next part is to show that Flamebird is not a really good, you know, is not doing things right. Kate's upset. I think Kate also doesn't want her to get hurt. It's her cousin and stuff. And they're there fighting the craziest gang ever, the Cue Ball and the Pool Hall Gang, which I think is the greatest name ever. And you see Cue Ball. He's there. He's just a cue ball head dressed in white, and they're fighting. But she says, listen, you know what? Flamebird, I can't keep looking after you. I have to keep looking over your shoulder, let alone mine, and things are going. And this also goes into the point where Batman says that, you know, Flamebird's got to go. Flamebird is too much of a crazy, and you don't need that. But you do have Jacob show up then with Bette and Kate in the apartment. And when he shows up, she's just like, you know what?
She flips the hell out.
I don't need you here. And this is where you do. What's weird is, like you said, you don't get a lot of that background in this of Alice and Jacob and all that. You do get it in art. The art is there, but without knowing the story.
Oh, I'm telling you, it is a crazy, like, you know, the freaking spread page they had for this, the whole design of the, like, the panel layout, the bottom freaking layer of it, which, like, comes down from the upper left down to the bottom right. It's just all this whole montage of the events that led up to this point that caused this fight between her and Jacob. Like, you see a bunch of cool stuff. You see a werewolf. You see
Alice.
Oh, she'll become Red Alice. She's just Alice at this point.
Yeah, Alice
you
drowning.
See all
you
this
see
crazy
all this.
Shit. I'm like, and at the end, you see her maybe drown. At the end, I'm like, it's a lot of stuff here. I can't tell you what
you
the story
Kate
was.
You see Kate at West Point. You see the terrorist deal with the sack over the head that it was in the Detective Comics Rebirth run. Very similar to that and all this stuff where you don't – I wonder why they didn't just explain it in the spread page. It's all in art while she just gets angry and says, you know what? My twin sister, Beth, you had her murdered. She was murdered because of you. She drowned. You know, you told me that she didn't survive and that, but she did.
Even,
she came
even
back.
The whole thing, because then you have the whole thing where, because like up to like, you know, we had this point before with this whole backstory that we're talking about, you know, Kate's origin is where she was taken with her freaking her mother and her sister and they were killed. And like this whole time, Jacob knew that her sister Beth was not killed, but she was kept somewhere and drove insane to come back and become this villain Alice.
And then
they had this whole ordeal which caused her to die again in Kate's mind. So yeah, you have a lot of turmoil going on between Kate and Jacob right now because of everything he knew that he never told her. But also, there's a lot of stuff that we don't know because we're not talking about it.
Yeah, but and then it basically ends. And this also was pointed out in that Zero issue at the beginning where she doesn't want to see him. Now, he's right there, and she's like, get the hell out of here, even though it seems that it's spelled out that he funds a lot of the things that she does. That
as we found out before, like, you know, in the rebirth of Batwoman and stuff like that, you know, he is the one who's got her. her started as Batwoman. He wanted her to be this freaking soldier to be like Batman, which also, but you know, take the aspects of Batman, but make it her own as well. And also you can see that he is, you know, he's all about the whole Batman idea, because he even does the whole colony thing based off of Batman as well.
Yeah. And what J.H. Williams with his art does a lot in this, there is a lot of stuff that's just thrown in as backgrounds of spread pages that actually I want to know more about, because at the end of this issue, this would be the end of the first issue, Batman comes to Kate and says, listen, I have a proposition for you. And as you go and continue on the story, it's Flamebird and Kate fighting again, fighting some villains in a casino, and they're fighting and talking about what Batman offered. And you have, you know, Flamebird, oh, Batman Incorporated, that, and she, and Kate's like, exactly, a worldwide organization of Batman. Now, you have the spread page of El Gaucho's there, Knight, you have all these guys in the background, but I wanted to know more, but
Batman,
again,
Inc. was such a weird comic to me. I don't know why, for some reason, I had to pick it up just because it was this big freaking Batman story, and I loved Batman, but following that was just so hard for me back when it was coming
crazy.
Out.
It was crazy, and that was the comic where Damian Wayne died.
Sure
so
was.
If you were going to go, you had to read that. But yeah, it's just basically Kate talking about this while you see in the background all these crazy different Batman Incorporated and Catwoman there. But yeah, they're going through this. But yeah, she doesn't want to join up. She told him, you know, I'm not going to agree to take orders from Batman. Says, I already have a father. I have some issues with all this. So she's not going to get involved with Batman Incorporated. But then we go back to Maggie.
But she will.
Yeah. Maggie is jogging at this point through the park, and Cameron Chase just pulls up in her Hummer and just like, she's not supposed to drive in there. This park does not have any sort of, you know, you're not allowed to have vehicles. And that's where Maggie's like, you know what? Sari's off limits to motor vehicles. And Cameron's just like, yeah, you know what? This kind of says I can do what the
this
fuck I
badge
want.
This says I can do badge. Whatever I want. This is a free pass right here.
Yeah. And then she's like, okay, you know, you're DEO in Gotham. What the hell's going on? You know, are you here for these child murders? We're trying to figure this out. And then Maggie's like, no, that's not what we want. We want Batwoman. And it just ends up being this whole scene is they think that Maggie's one of the people who could be Batwoman.
She's number three on Cameron's list.
Yeah, she's on the list because she, you know, she's very, obviously she's a detective. Also, she was in Metropolis, ended up coming to Gotham probably around the same time that Batwoman showed up. And also, she's in good shape and
she placed third in the Metropolis Marathon. You left your entire life
so
behind
funny
to come
that
to
that
Gotham.
That, it was so funny that that was like a big thing. Oh, you were third in the marathon. Oh, okay, Batwoman. But yeah, she's like, you know what, you know, go to hell or whatever. And Cameron's like, no, you know what, if you know anything about this, you want to talk, maybe we can, you know, take you off the list if you can give me reasons to.
Here's my card.
And they drive, and she drives off in the Hummer. And then, you have Maggie like, oh, Gordon's really going to love this, which I'm sure that Gordon would not have any sort of, he would not like any sort of DEO in Gotham. But in the meantime, we see the weeping woman strike again. And it's very quick. And then we see Kate having her date with Maggie Sawyer at the bar. There's red wine involved. It was weird, too, because I don't go and drink or anything like that. And she's at this bar, and she's got one hand with a glass of wine, the other in the with a beer. And as she's walking, she's, red wine, red wine. And I'm like, I didn't get the idea that she was yelling because she doesn't want somebody to bump into her and spill it. What is she yelling about? Like,
I'm telling you, this is always the worst thing of going to any kind of crowded bar with a band or anything like that, trying to get to a table and going through. I'm like, I'm looking at this like, it just seems so unneeded, but I'm like, I feel your pain, Kate. This is the worst.
Yeah. At first, I'm like,
Scoozy.
I thought she was ordering red wine. Like, you have it. What, are you drunk? It's one of those like, hey, I'm almost halfway through this. You better bring me three right away. I'm a heavy drinker here. But yeah, her and Maggie are talking. And it's like one of those, Kate does say, hey, just pretend this isn't our first date. Pretend it's our 10th. We'll go with this. But the whole thing is Cameron's there. Hey, you know what? The DEO showed up. They're trying
she's
to find out.
She's lucky she's so pretty. I've tried it before and I've gotten slapped.
Yeah, really. But yeah, she's like, hey, the Cameron Chase from the DEO showed up. She wants to know if I know who Batwoman is. And then you have the whole thing where obviously Kate's like, oh, do you? Oh, exciting. And it just goes from there where they walk home and they have the whole thing where Kate walks Cameron, or Cameron, Kate walks Maggie home, and then like, hey, I'd like to come up, but you know I shouldn't, and I gotta go, and you know all this, but then it looks like there's another scene, another crazy
Kate
fucking
is
Gotham
so dramatic
scene.
In this whole scene, yeah. Like, you know, walking away and friggin'
do you like the way she
does,
bows?
I like, till next time, Detective Story, and does a little freaking bow and a wave as she goes away. I'm like,
bow
this is so
deal.
Weird.
I like it. I could never
get away with being this goofy.
Well, and actually, it's funny you say that because Maggie's like, I didn't know you could be so goofy, and I didn't know I liked goofy. So I thought it was pretty cool. I thought it actually was pretty cute. But then that's where you have her get a thing where you have another crime scene going on, and this one's the craziest thing ever.
Oh my god, when you turn the page and see the self spread page of what the hell is going down at this crime scene.
Yeah, oh, it's unbelievable.
Just body of yep. Like, you know, monster after monster.
Satyrs,
like,
monsters,
fuck went down
freaking
here.
Looks like an octopus, a bird man.
A crab slash bird
yeah,
man?
Yeah. Oh my god. It's crazy. But yeah, they're there, and Maggie's that, you know, Maggie shows up. Cameron's already working at it and trying to figure out, you know, what the hell. You can only think that she's like, what the fuck goes on? Harvey Bullock's there too. And there's Harvey saying, like, hey, at least no one gets snatched, huh? And then Cameron, she just pulls out a baggie with a hand. Oh, really? Who does this belong to? So they're going through the crime scene, and Maggie's there, and she's like, okay, this happened here. You had this. You had a huge, you know, an unknown meta with them, a big one. We had this going on and all that. In the meantime, you have Kate, who's watching from beyond. Good girl. She likes the way that, you know, she worked that crime scene. But it is crazy. And then it does point out this Medusa gang, this gang. And it seems as if there's been a lot of gangs. It's Gotham. I mean, you could throw anything in Gotham and basically be like, okay, I understand.
And
Gotham's
just going through the friggin' the whole crime scene in like Maggie's head as she's trying to lay out what happened. Yeah. Because we had this freaking gang warfare going on with the freaking, you know, the were animals or whatever it is. And the freaking, I'm guessing the Medusa gang now, which is a new gang, then they're not used to seeing this new symbol on the people. And they had this other gang, they had a meta with them because you like to have a whole blacked out section where there's a question mark over who it's Killer Croc, we find out later on in the series. Yeah. But like, it's just like, how did you deduce all this shit? Like, I'm telling you,
she's good.
I'm guessing. How did you know?
I don't know. Yeah, she's like, it'd be funny. This would be great if this was like real life. This wasn't a comic. And there's Maggie, like, okay, oh Jesus Christ, here comes Sawyer again. She comes up and like, okay, we think that there was these two gangs, the Jets. And you know, whatever.
And the Sharks.
And, yeah, the Sharks and the Jets were going to fight. No, no. There was a were person there. There was a werewolf here and an octopus guy there. Like, get her out of here.
Goddamn spooky Sawyer's back.
Yeah, here she comes up with the craziest thing, but it seems to be right. That's where Kate was looking like, good girl. And then she goes and then talks to Batman.
But somebody was abducted and they cut off the hand and freaking dragged that person away.
Yeah, dragged that person away without his hand. But this is where Kate then goes to Batman and says, hey, you know what? The DEO's here. They're after things. And yeah, Batman's like, huh, yep, Cameron Chase is in Gotham. You know, she's an agent of the top department of extra noise. You know, goes through this whole deal and then even says, you know what? They've been after me for a while. But Kate's like, no, they're after me this time. And that's where he's like, you know what? Keep your sidekick.
You gotta be careful.
You gotta get rid. Be very careful, and the sidekick of yours is gonna end up dead. This is what happens when you fight with things like this and the supernatural shit. Your sidekick will die and come back as a supervillain. You don't want that.
That's what happens.
Yeah, that's what happens, and you don't want that. But you have Kate then go, and she's going through the GCPD and Maggie's, you know, files then. And that's when Maggie comes up, and it's like the first time it seems that they are, you know, face to face. And that's where, and it's a weird scene. It's a very weird scene because you have, you know, this quick is just to show Batwoman leads her to this boathouse, but it also is a way that the DEO can also show up because Maggie calls the DEO and says, you know what, are you there, Chase? I know where you can find Batwoman. And she even says before, to Batwoman that she's not that against, or says it's Kate, but she's not that against Batwoman, but she wants to be able to do her own job. She doesn't need a vigilante going around doing her own job. But that's where we go. Kate goes to this boathouse to see what's going on. It seems like that was the origin of all this nonsense. And when she goes there, she has a thing that I thought you would love, because she's like, God, this is so Camp Crystal Lake, as she's under the boardwalk there going through the water.
I'm like, Camp Crystal, no, I think I did appreciate it, but I'm looking at it, I'm like, what the hell you tell about Camp Crystal Lake? This is on the freaking edge of the ocean.
I knew you'd have issues. I knew it. And it's funny too, because it looks like she gets just, you know, goes over a little cliff, but even if you look at the panel when she's like, God, this is so Camp Crystal Lake, just don't be a dumb chick who goes in the basement alone, you actually see almost a hand of water coming up to grab her, like a mystical thing. Yeah. And then she does get drug under, and that's where we go, where she, it goes straight to that, to the deal where she's being drug under by the weeping woman, and she seems to be going through these ideas where this ghost of vengeance is, this is where you said, is kind of tying into her grief at what happened to her
and
sister.
And not even the grief, but also the guilt that she puts on herself for, like, you know, killing her sister in her mind, you know, the whole thing where, like, Alice drowned, and this, like, you know, the weeping woman has a lot of guilt, we'll find out later on, for the death of her children, and that's what it seems to be playing on, the whole mystical aspect, when it grabs a hold of, like, you know, it's attacking Kate, it's playing off the guilt of the whole thing as well, and it actually even adds more here, because her sister in her mind did drown. So this whole thing is, it's a psychological attack.
It's very similar to
what's
going on.
It's also, you know, it's making Kate just, like, you know, give up and, like, not accept the guilt, but give into the guilt and think that she needs to die as well and drown. But she does fight through it and gets back to the surface.
And it ties very well into the end, where we find out about this woman. It would make sense that if you feel guilty about something, you would just give up and kind of commit suicide yourself, is what happened to this lady. But Kate gets away. She punches the ghost and then gets out.
And you have this ghost story all over the place of the weeping woman or the woman in white who, like, you know, we even have it around here, that Natchez covered bridge, with people call it Ghost Mountain. One of the stories there is, like, you know, oh, not even there. It's in New Hope. There's a covered bridge there people talk about all the time, where this woman drowned her kids and then killed herself.
Yeah.
You know, this story is all over America, and I'm sure all over the world.
Yeah, yeah. Or you could just go and watch the documentary Dear Zachary. Eric,
oh, and cry
the whole time.
Don't
but
watch
yes,
that.
She gets out of the water. She gets to the shore, and that's where Maggie and the DEO are there, or not Maggie, Cameron. I keep getting them mixed up. Cameron's there, and they grab
her. I keep wanting to call her Chase Cameron
some
reason.
Yeah, and they grab her, and pretty much I'm like, oh crap, it's over. They have her. And I never understand when they grab somebody like this. The first move should really, really be just somebody get the mask off. That's all you need to do. And
in my mind, first move is taser the shit out of her.
Well, yeah. Well, the first move here is to just talk and say, like, hey, you know, I want to know what's going on. What do you, you know, you better tell us what's happening here. I got some questions of you about a terrorist attack. And again, you're like, what are you talking about? But that's where she says, a kidnapped colonel, 3 murdered enlisted, 2 stolen planes, and enough military grade cyanogen chloride to kill most of Gotham. And somehow you managed to cover it all up. Who has the pull for that? And she wants to know, you know, this is why they're after her and why
and
they want to know.
You know, Batwoman really doesn't know anything about this. This is all Jacob Kane covering his tracks and his involvement
it's
with
all
Batwoman,
Jacob
because
Kane.
He freaking, you know, put all this stuff, you know, I'm trying to think of the right wording for this, but he covered the entire thing up, and the DEO knows that, like, you know, he is involved in this.
Yeah.
So they want to know what's going on.
Yeah, and the problem is I think that it's kind of a subtle deal that they play around with this, but the DEO, like you just said, is only there because of Jacob, pretty much. They're trying to figure out how this ties
whole
in
shit, yeah.
and how Batwoman is involved. And then at the end, when they really do kind of figure out things, they use her dad as a chip to get her to join them. So her dad, even when he's not screwing her, he is. I mean, everything that goes on in this is got that basis of shit that he's done in the past, which really by the end makes her kind of compromise any sort of ideals or whatever she wanted to have. And
I'm telling you,
this
whole thing too of, like, I've read, like, you know, past this point, I actually didn't read the next arc, which actually pisses me off, because by the time I got done this one, I really wanted to know what happened. But I read further into the series, and the shit that ties around the DEO and Mr. Bones, it just seems like this is just like a ruse to set all the stuff up in motion. Like, it has nothing to do with Batwoman at all.
No. And so what happens while this is all going on? Now, Batwoman does fight and get away. But while this is going on, Maggie was waiting for a date. You know, she ends up being stood up because obviously Kate is just, you know, she's busy.
She's being drowned by the weeping woman and getting attacked by the DEO. So she's got a lot on her plate.
Yeah, she's
right
got
now.
A lot going on now. That's the point, though. Maggie then calls up Kate's phone. And Bette answers, so that Maggie immediately thinks that that's some other girlfriend thing she's been playing. Yeah, and that's when Batwoman shows up, soaking wet, and like, you know what, I'm sorry, but we're done. You're done. I don't want you involved anymore. Get this Flamebird nonsense. Get the fuck out of my life.
I just wish she would have taken the time to explain herself a bit. Because
it's one
whole
of those
thing,
that, yeah.
With the guilt of her sister's death and the DEO being on
and
her.
And what Batman
to
said,
stuff,
too.
And Batman
all already
this stuff
said.
Is just piled on top from everything tonight, it seems like.
Yeah.
Is this really made her think that I can't have Bette involved.
Yeah, I can't. I don't want her getting killed or worse.
She just pushes her away, and I just wish she would have stopped and explained things so Bette wouldn't go and do what she does.
Yeah, because that's the problem is it's such a, you know, a cliched story telling thing here where it's like, you know what? It's one of those like, just get away from me. You're
I'm
awful.
Telling you, every time
you're
I
no
see
good.
This, it's John Lithgow slapping Harry in from Harry and the Hendersons out so he leaves the freaking family and goes back to the woods so he's safe. But just explain the situation, goddamn
it.
Don't,
because
don't have
Kate,
to be this over-the-top asshole
it is,
to push somebody away.
It's the over-the-top, you know, I don't want to, you know, get it. So let's have her hate me and quit because of that. Because she says, you don't have what it takes. And then Bette's like, no, you're wrong. No, you're just a privileged tennis player. You're not even fighting for anything. The only thing you ever lost was a beauty pageant.
Ooh, and then she slaps her Kate across the face.
And then goes away and says, you know what, even if your mom and sister hadn't died, you would have driven them away by now, you control freak, and gets out. And that's where you have Kate just sitting on the bed. You're a bitch, Kate.
I'm like, just explain yourself,
damn
it.
Just talk about it. Say, listen, you got to hold tight. Just stay here. We're not going to have you go out, you know, in
but
the near
a lot
future.
Of shit
I need
is
you
going
to help.
Down. You don't understand.
Yeah, I don't want you to die. I know you're going to say that that's not going to happen, but the DEO is in town. There's a lot of crap going down from this point on. You're grounded. You stay in here. You can help me with tech stuff. There, you're my oracle. But no, she just yells and she goes away, which ends up leading to pretty much very close to being her death. You do have Cameron then going to talk to Jacob. So you know that they're really centering in on Kate as well, because when he's swimming and he comes out and she's like, I have some questions for you. What do you think about your daughter, by the way? And he's like, you know what? You know, she's like, she tried to follow in your footsteps. So I got drummed out of West Point, right? And from what I hear, she parties all the time. You build her a penthouse, you know, what the hell? And he's like, yeah, you know what? I'm not so fond of her at the moment, but I'm hoping that she finds her way. And you know what? Fuck off. I'm leaving. Yeah. And that's where you have the Director Bones back at the DEO, and that's where she says, hey, listen, I did talk to Jacob, but he's not talking about
doesn't
anything.
Surprise me. We've been watching him for years as part of the Batman investigation. Go after the sidekick next. Maybe she knows something we can use.
Yeah, and that's where, they're going to go after
and now they're
Flame
centering
Bird
on Bette, and fucking Batwoman has pushed her away. I'm like, God,
she just pushed her away. Pushed her away to go back to wearing her Flamebird costume and go out and kick ass on her own. And while that's going on, Maggie shows up to talk to Kate and just says, you know, what's going on? This girl answered, you stood me up. And she's like, no, it wasn't like that. That's my cousin. And then just breaks down. And you see, like, all of this shit has just come full circle to just, you know.
Well, it's been a rough night.
Yeah, she's about to break down. I mean, she does. And while that's going on, you see Flamebird out causing trouble, Eric, because she is going to end up almost dead because she's fighting these people. She ends up fighting part of the Medusa gang again. You see them again, but then they have more than just these guys dressed up in fancy karate outfits. They have, you know, this inhuman beast with a hook hand and stuff like that going on. I mean, it's pretty crazy, but she just ends up getting sliced apart. I thought she was dead. I really did.
Well, I knew she wasn't dead because, like I said, I read ahead to
something.
Yeah,
you read ahead. But if you were just reading this as just reading, you would have to think
definitely.
That she's almost dead because this guy just basically puts his hand inside her innards. What? And, it's nice and moist and squishy in here.
I'm telling you, he essentially – it seems like he fucking guts her from what I see here with a little fucking sickle. I'm like, God damn it, Flamebird, why couldn't you just listen?
Yeah, she just had to stay home. But as this is going on, while you see that there was some lovey sexy time.
Oh yeah, breakdowns always lead to sexy time. That always makes you feel better.
And Maggie, yep. And as this is going on, the DEO shows up and finds Flamebird, and she's pretty much
bleeding
almost
out.
Dead. And again, I thought she was dead. And they're like, oh, she's almost dead here. And they take her away and really do a lot of work to figure out what's going on. And then, end up tricking her into finding out exactly who is Batwoman. In the meantime, you get a connection where Batwoman goes to this woman.
She's doing
some
detective work.
Yeah, she was this woman or girl who's in med school who is actually doing something that's very similar to me, like the Blue Beetle book with Jaime's mom. This girl is end up treating villains and trying to help them out, get, bullet wounds and stuff off
of
them.
Yeah, she's doing a little job on the side for trying to pay
money
for med school and all that.
And Batwoman says, listen, you could be my connection here. I need to know information. You're going to give me the information. I'll keep Batman and anybody else off your back. You'll be able to keep doing this illegal clinic. I think that even though they are bad guys, it seems that she's helping. She still is helping somebody. And,
she's a bad guy, but she's not a bad guy.
She's a bad guy, but I just think, you can't – I think Batwoman would be like, okay, you know what? These guys are a piece of shit, but nobody deserves to die. It kind of goes with the whole Bat family deal. But, yeah, she's like, did you see anything of this person? And it is it's the woman that ends up being the weeping woman and the kids. And she's like, oh, yeah, those kids, yeah, they were playing at the boathouse. I think that they died of shock when they hit the water. They must have fallen in the water. And the mother came in reeking of gin. And then Batwoman's like, well, what happened to her? What happened to the mother? And the girl's like, I don't know. She was deported last I heard. She was charged with negligence, and the INS was looking into her. And that's where she gets the name. She says, do you have a name? Oh, yeah, Maria Salvaje. And that's where this guy, who looks a lot like Machete, gets all upset. Wild Maria, she has risen the dead. What the? Get the hell out of there. But yeah, this guy says it. So now you're getting a good idea of what this connection and this weeping woman and what happened. But yeah, you go back to the DO and they're looking into Flamebird, trying to figure it out, and they have their computer up and it's pretty cool. You see Damian, Nightwing, you see Flamebird there, has these connections. It's one of those, it's a computerized wall of yarn you'd have, and you have all these things. One even, I don't know, it even looks like possibly spoiler, but I can't tell. Down at the lower right-hand corner, and it may even be, I don't know.
I think it's Batgirl.
Is it? Well, Batgirl's right in the middle as well, so I wonder why. Oh, Batgirl, you think that's Batgirl? It looks
possible.
Weird with a hood like that. Maybe it was. I thought you meant Batwoman. But it's just kind of cool that you have those. You have Red Robin there and stuff like that. And they're trying to figure it out. They're getting DNA hair samples from Bette. But the thing is, they go and trick her. Cameron dresses up as a doctor.
This is the worst fucking this ruse ever. It made me angry when I was reading it. Just the whole lengths that they would go to find out who they need to go.
No, it's bad.
It makes sense for them. It just makes sense, but
it's a piece of shit move because she dresses up as a nurse. Says, listen, you have extensive injuries. You're going to die. I'm sorry, but you know what? Is there anybody we can call? A parent, your boyfriend, anyone? I don't want you to die alone. And that's where Flamer's like, Kate Kane. And like, okay, that can't be a coincidence. Yeah. And then she just immediately, dress her up and drop her off at the fucking Gotham General. Get her the hell out of here. But yeah, the guy even says, she won't last the night, not here anyway. So I'm like, okay, they were going to go to the point where they probably would have killed her just to get this info. Now they're going to let her go get actual medical attention. But that is where now Batwoman's in full out detective mode, goes to this woman, Maria's father, and it's like, where is she? And she's dead. Oh, my little girl's dead. And he even says, I didn't know much of my grandkids. I didn't even know about them.
Maria hit the fucking drink hard, and he fucking blames himself because I gave her her first drink and then she kept doing it. And then pretty much it seems like she drank herself to death.
Yep, and it's very quick, but it continues her doing this investigation of it, and that's where we see this issue ends. With Director Bones, he's coming into Gotham, America, with a few days to thrill. And do you like Bones' art? Because I do.
I actually really do.
Yeah, I do as well, because as Kate is,
it's a ridiculous character.
Oh, it's so ridiculous.
I really enjoy him though.
I just like that he's a walking, you know, skeleton who smokes cigars. And yeah, and really,
I'm just happy that he didn't let his handicap freaking take away from his achievements in life.
That is true. And also, you have to really be impressed that he has a lot of really cool ties. If you notice throughout, every time they show him, he has a very flashy tie, which makes me laugh. But yeah, he's coming to Gotham to kind of go and investigate what's going on. You know, now it seems like they're almost at where they know it's Kate Kane. So now he's coming in for the final deal.
In my mind, he's coming in as the final deal to freaking take credit for the whole operation.
Yep. And that's where you start out the next deal, where Kate is doing her investigation. She comes to that boathouse again. She's got the pictures.
Before all that shit, you have to go with the freaking meditation that she does, because this reminds me so much of Batman 66, where she's just going through the freaking, like, the word game in her mind.
Yeah,
trap, snare, surround, encircle, sigil, seal, and like the animal, then sea. Ocean, life.
Well, I would have pointed it out if it made sense. It doesn't even make sense.
It doesn't, but it just made me think of Batman 66 with the riddles and the freaking shit.
Even
like
if
that.
The riddle, though, it seems like she goes away from exactly what she already knows. She already knows it was the boathouse. Now she has a name, because basically she's going to be Ghost Hunter now. Now it's Kate Kane Ghost Hunter, because she goes and starts. She might as well have had that. What did they use? The Xbox Kinect at one point in that Ghost Hunter show. She might as well have all those things set up, because she goes back, realizes
fire's the key to getting rid of the freaking ghost, I love the fucking wraparound. It's so ridiculous. Because it doesn't make any sense.
Music, movement. I like, oh my God. You have like a Day of the Dead guy playing a goddamn guitar.
No, that's Johnny
guitar.
Cash to invert,
I don't know why he's dressed up as a Los Muertos. It's crazy. But yeah, she goes back to that boathouse. Again, it just goes back to the boathouse with her setting up a trap for Maria, who is the ghost. She really is. And she goes, sets up some things and says, hey, Maria, I know you're in here. I can taste the sea. Where are the children? This is where it happened, isn't it? And it, to me, again, it's Ghost Adventures and all those shows that you watch, because, yeah, you end up where this Maria, this, you know, the weeping woman comes up then and basically gives Kate a vision of what happened and all this. And basically she looked like she was a drunken whore who was sitting at a bar and let her kids run off. And her kids ran off and ended up drowning. And she blamed herself. She got taken away. You even see the kids, you know, being pronounced dead and her getting taken away, and she ended up killing herself. Now, in the meantime,
it seems like she just got drunk and walked into the sea and just died.
Yeah, she just killed herself. And with this, though, you're continuing where she is talking to Kate, and like, you know, now you have to face what you have lost, and you get Alice again, where she feels like, you know, she's drowning as you see what happened to Alice. And it's almost one of those where the Maria is going to make Kate feel exactly how Alice felt, but Kate breaks out of it. Kate realizes, no, it was not my fault.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm not going
to
let this guilt kill me the way your guilt killed you, Maria.
And what happened to my sister was not my fault. So no, you have no power over me. And then ends up with, she had this gasoline tank and ends up throwing it and, you know, blowing up and things like that. But in the meantime, you do have Maria then, the ghost, saying like, oh my God, I didn't mean to do this. Like, you really see that she's breaking free of somebody else is making her do all this. They made me take the children. They did this. You know what? And then ends up breaking out of the whole visage of her being this weeping woman. And now she just looks like a ghost of herself, Maria. And
now she can finally move on, that she's accepted what she's done.
Yep. And she's like, listen, you know, I'm going to go now be with my beautiful babies. But, you know, they made me do this, that, you know, and who is they? And it's like Medusa, they're in Medusa's coils. You can save them. Please save them. And that's where Kate's like standing there. Shit's burning around her. Who the hell is Medusa? And then you have the thing where it looks like the boathouse. Now she can at least be arrested for arson there, because that thing went down. But she goes back. Now, and again, I know that we don't have a lot of background going into this about Beth, who ended up becoming Alice, and all this, her sister. But I like this because you had the Maria. Now she has accepted her guilt. She accepted that, you know, she was guilty of doing this, but she doesn't want to hurt any more kids. So now she can go off. She's now in heaven, Eric. I don't know where murderers go. Not that she really murdered them, but she's going to go be with her kids. Kate goes back after finally, in my mind, saying it wasn't my fault. What happened wasn't me. Goes back to her apartment or her penthouse and ends up finding a picture of her and her sister and her dad, cuts her dad out of the picture and hangs it up. And I thought that's pretty cool. And then he even goes through a thing where
you don't have to ruin the picture though. You don't gotta be a bitch about it. Yeah, you might be angry she doesn't like her dad now, but shit.
She's there at the computer and she's talking. It's kind of funny because she's talking to her sister and she's like, you know what? How are you gonna help me find this Medusa or what? Don't answer that or they'll put me in Arkham. But it reminded me of that middle school movie that you saw recently with the kid talking to his dead brother.
Middle school, the worst years
of
my life.
The worst years of my life. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of cute that she's doing this and talking. But she's like, you were always my good luck charm.
I just really wish she wasn't talking out loud in her apartment because she's not alone.
I know, but they have to do that. They were at that one point, even Reggie was talking. I forget who in the Get Fresh crew was talking about it, said, you know, when did they get rid of thought bubbles and have that sort of thing? Because really, that should have been thought bubble going. Yeah. But instead, it's her talking.
Well, I can understand
that,
too. When I'm alone and shit like that, I'll end up talking to myself and stuff like that. But the thing is, like, I don't like this. I don't think I would say out loud anything that could, like, not incriminate me or give away, like, anything like that. It's like you have a person, you have an organization that's hell bent on trying to find out who you are, and you're just going to go around talking out loud about things.
Yeah, just talking. It says that, you know, hey, sis, you were my good luck charm.
I got to go find Medusa.
Yeah, I got to go find Medusa. And
what
she's looking into
it. DEO's there to freaking find out about?
That's the problem. She ends up smelling cigar smoke. And she's like, what the fuck? And goes out into her kitchen. And there they are. There's Cameron Chase and the cigar smoking director Bones there smoking a cigar. And they're like, you know what? The jig is up, Eric. We know.
And go.
Yeah, and gone. We know you're Batwoman. We know you are, and, you know, Flame Bird told us all. She's dead. They give her Flame Bird's freaking out. It's
her
just
bloodied
covered
up
in blood.
Tattered
and she's there.
Costume.
This is blood. There's so much blood. And she's like, what the hell did you do? And Cameron's like, no, we didn't do anything. We found her bleeding out. But you know what? You want to, you know, go visit her and be with her and whatever. But first,
yeah,
we're going
to
have a little
proposition.
Agent Chase
saved her life. Go and visit her. We just have to talk about something first.
Yep. And they want her to become part of the DO. They want her to be part of the global organization. And says, I know that Batman's probably come to you and asked you to join him. You join the DO. We got a lot better benefits program. We got a kick-ass health benefits. You're going to have a fucking equipment that hasn't even been invented yet. You're going to get a lot of stuff like this. But the problem is even Batman says later, it's like they are kind of against Batman. Now, in the meantime, they do pull out the whole deal. Your dad will rot in a jail if you don't join us. We know he has done bad things. If you join
us, covered shit up.
He's off the books. He is untouchable if you join us. Now, we've spent this whole trade, and pretty much, again, if you were somebody who was reading Rebirth, you know that it's not exactly a clear-cut decision for Kate. Like, she could, if she really sat there and like, just emotionally did, she'd fuck him. I don't care about him, but there's also the point where the DO knows who she is. So she's really in a tight spot here and agrees. She's going to join them to serve her country, Eric. But she does go to talk to Flame Bird and says, hey, Bette, I turned down Batman. And she's out. You know, Bette is in a coma at this point. She's like, you know what? I turned down Batman. I think I found a better gig. I want you to know. And that's Batman's in the shadows.
Batman just walks out of the shadows at that point. He's been there the whole damn time, all Batman about it.
Yep, and says this is a mistake. You know, working for the DO will inevitably put you at odds with me. And she says, listen, I'm just playing around. I'm going to use them for getting whatever I want. And you know what? You know, I'll never get lines crossed or whatever she says. And that's where Batman says Bones will test that at every turn. And eventually he's going to force you to make an impossible choice and then just leaves. I mean, Batman isn't a guy who is going to, you know, push the issue.
No.
He just wants her to know, you know what, I think that you.
And at this point, from all the investigating and he knows his cousin and stuff like that, and, you know, trust Batwoman to a degree.
Yeah.
There's nothing he could really say at this point. He has to let her go and make her own decisions. Because, like I said, not part of the Bat family.
No. Well, yeah. So, yeah, he has to just, like you said, trust her. This is where you're reading it. I'm like, Huh, we're getting to the end here. What's going on? Where's these kids? Because they just set up Medusa in full effect. Like, now she has the whole deal. I got to go after this Medusa. They have the kids. I got to free. But instead of going to do that, we're ending the trade. So she goes off to talk to.
And she even says to Batman, like, I'm just going to use the DEO to help me find these missing kids.
Yeah, to find
kids. We're not going to do that now? Come on.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, come on. This was the big thing. She goes back to the apartment of the people at the beginning, Mr. and Mrs. Lopez, Felipe and Isabella. She goes back to them and says, I want you to know that the Weeping Woman is gone. She won't be taking anyone else's kids. And to me, I'm like, huh, that's a relief. But hey, I know myself. I'd be like, what the fuck? Where are my kids? And she's like, I don't know if your children are still alive. But if they are, I swear to you that I'll bring them home. I'll tell you, they make a very big point. Even Maggie says earlier, listen, I'd love to tell you that your kids are alive. But you know what? I'm not so sure. So I can't say that. It's pretty morally,
not responsible,
you know, wrong
for me to tell you, I can find your kids alive.
And
don't know if I can do that.
And you don't get that much in comics. I thought that was pretty good, especially for a comic that really is darker than I thought it ever would be. With the supernatural stuff and that, where I like that. And at the end, she does come and say to the parents, listen, I'm going to go and I'm going to try to find them. At least I stopped the Weeping Woman. She's not going to take any more kids. But yeah, I'm not sure they're alive, but I'll find out. I'll have an answer for you either way. And then it ends.
I'll bring you a body either way.
Yeah. And then it ends. I'm like, oh, you son of a bitch. And it says Batwoman will return in to drown the world. And I was like, you son of a bitch. Now, as we're going, I'm like, holy shit, we're going to get through all this, and she's just going to swoop in, punch a couple of guys in Medusa, grab these kids, and go. But the way it's set up, I can't tell you that all the kids are alive. Like, it's not one of those that I could fully say that she won't show up. And like you just said, she may bring a body back, and you may get the Lopez's going, well, you know what? We're heartbroken, but at least we have the body to bury now, something like that. That would not be any sort of craziness to me how this goes. I liked it. I liked this a lot more than you. I think that, like Jess, I kind of used what little info I had. Again, Alice shows up later in this run as well, and you get a little bit of background, but not much.
Right.
And you have a couple things that I just went with it. I only needed to know that Kate felt responsible for her sister dying, or at least not being there to help her, and that was her guilt. And I went with that, and I liked it. I really did. I thought the art was great. I think that the art is really, really good. Even the way that J.H. Williams even changes the style for different things. Like, there's the spread pages, the supernatural type pages seem to be more in this, like, almost like a painted style at points and stuff like that. There's a lot of spread pages.
I think the art is great in this whole, like, you know, first arc and stuff like that. I'm sure it continues to be great going forward, but, like, the biggest problem I had going in is that there are so many spread pages, and then, like, you had this stylized page layout that, like, I found it hard at times to follow the progression of the
dialogue. I think it took me about an issue and a half.
Right.
You know, probably up until about 30-some pages of the trade to actually kind of wrap around how it plays out. If there is a – you know, sometimes you have to read the whole right side and then the left side. Then sometimes you have to read half of the left. You know, you had a lot of things like that. But I think once I got the idea of if there is a strong border, you know, separating a bunch of things, then you can kind of go with it. And I think that you kind of fall into it. But at first, I was confused as well reading
it. Yeah, and like even at the beginning, like from the way the art progression of like the whole supernatural aspect, I thought there was multiple ghosts at first, just not one Weeping Woman, because they kept changing the appearance from like a pretty lady to that hag kind of thing. So at first, I really thought there was these multiple Weeping Women at where like different like points of freaking decomposition or whatever like that.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I was kind of confused when I first went in with the whole way the art was laid out.
Well, and I'll tell you, they do the thing where you'd have in like a Nightwing book as well, where some people, when they want to show a tumble, you know, a jumping leap of Dick Grayson, you'll have a kind of an outline, solid. They go with the, and not that it's confusing, I didn't think there was 10 Batwomans, but they go with the full out. Each one is a fully, you know, full art for each. And sometimes that throws me out of the thing a little. They do that. But yeah, I liked it though. I liked it. What would you give it as a full trade?
As a full trade, I'm telling you, because of the page layout, the art layout and stuff like that, and the panel progression, I found it a little hard, though. And even jumping in, because I read that first issue of the series first instead of going back and reading that zero issue that they really put in the trade to try to help people out, in my mind.
Yeah.
I just found it odd because here we have, you know, the new 52, you know, we have a whole rebooted universe. Yes, Batman kept most of his continuity. Green Lantern kept most of his continuity. With this, though, the way they are describing this whole background, it seems like it's very important information they don't really want to tell you all about.
Again, maybe it's one of those that you hinted at the beginning or wondered. Maybe it was because they started this in February of 2011 and this was just going to be a continuation.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they shoved it into the new 52 because they liked what they were getting here, but you wouldn't have a lot of things explained if it would have been a continuation of the previous series. It does kind of come off weird.
And even with Beth saying, you know, I was a Teen Titan, I fought Deathstroke, and I'm going, that doesn't really work right now because Tim Drake just started the first iteration of the Teen Titans as far as
and
we
maybe
knew
that
at this
was
point
one
in
of
time.
Those that it was going to happen, you know, the way it would have spelled out, and it was going to be the thing, and it didn't. I don't know. That was that one or two lines. We added in that zero, and then Flamebird even said when she was being questioned by when Kate said, you know, you're nothing, you're terrible. What? I fought Deathstroke in the Teen Titans. And I was like, okay, I'll go with that.
But even with that, I'm telling you, it's just like things because of this. I still enjoyed this arc for the most part. I actually enjoyed it more than I did. And I like the supernatural aspect and the art is amazing. It's just at the end of the day, I think I'd have to give it a 6.8 out of 10 for this first arc.
I'm going 1 point higher. I'm going to give it a 7.8, which still when this came out, it was weird. When it came out, this first arc it got good reviews. Then they really tailed off. And it really tailed off of how many people reviewed them. But the scores really went down going forward. And then it seemed like one of those where when this whole thing, and this does lead, which we didn't mention it, J.H. Williams and Blackman, they went off the book. Because
once DC told them that they couldn't
Maggie and Kate were going to get
together,
married. They were going to get married. They quit. You know, they said, you know, W. Hayden Blackman, Eric. I just keep saying Blackman because I have that crazy name. But yeah, both of them said, you know what? This is what we were leading up to all of these issues. You're not going to let us. This is bullshit. They quit. And Mark and Draco came on the book. They didn't cancel
the book.
Had to
pick up the damn pieces.
But up until that point, the scores for the review scores were very middle of the road. People were, you know, they were liking it. Some people weren't. It wasn't the best reviewed book at this point. When that happened, all of a sudden, everybody started talking about, oh my God, how could you let this happen? This was the best book. This was such a good book. And then you had Mark and Draco jump on with I said way back, because we were doing our site by the time that happened. Yeah. And I hadn't been reading Batwoman, so I wasn't reviewing it. When Mark and Draco, I'm like, okay, there's a new creative team. I will jump on and I'll start reviewing it. And I said in, I think my first review, I probably said, this is one of the craziest situations to jump in on. Now you have all these people pissed off that, you know, hey, Williams and Blackman left because you wouldn't let them get married and this is bullshit. Oh, their run was so great. And then Mark and Draco has to come in and continue it. But up until that point, you look at the reviews, people weren't going gaga about it until
but
that
controversy. Like, it was like an afterthought. Like, all of a sudden, this news came out that everybody had to talk about how much they loved Wonder Woman. Like, Batwoman.
Like, yeah.
I don't see it in the review scores.
No, it wasn't. And at one point they were, and then Mark and Draco, I do think that Mark and Draco, I liked the run. It was very fun. It wasn't a deep run or anything like that, but it had some fun. It ended up crazy. Batwoman with the team of Clayface, which ends up being the, you know, the tie
the
and
unknowns,
the rebirth
yeah.
and stuff like that. Yeah, Batwoman and the Unknowns. Ragman was in it. I mean, this was crazy.
Red Alice was
and
in it.
And they ended up in space. Yeah. Oh, it was so good. But yeah, it was goofy. But yeah, I liked it. Like I said, 7, 8. I could even go up to an 8, how much. But it was more of, I'd go with an 8 if I had read the next trade and everything gets tied up. So it would be one of those that it's weird, too. We always say, oh, you're reading issues. It'll be better in a trade. Now we read a trade and we think, boy, it'd be better if we did two trades. Because, it kind of gets cut at the knees there right at the point that we wanted to. But that's it, Eric. That is the end of the podcast. Thank you for joining me. Once again, Eric Shea. I will mention once again, I don't want to overdo it, but we do have that Patreon account. It's patreon.com/weirdscience. And why I'm saying that again is because while you listen to this and get to the end, you could go over there and actually get the next episode right now, right at this very moment. And it is Mr. Terrific Volume 1 Mind Games, which is supposed to be issues 1 to 7, but the whole series was only 8 issues, so we will be doing all 8 issues, I believe, unless something really crazy went on there. We'll see, but yeah,
yeah, I think don't know what the deal is with that. I have to look in and do some research. Yeah, sometimes, and find out, yeah, what I went will down. Too,
because sometimes like that last issue might have been a tie-in with an event and they used it with that, and who knows, but we will find out. But yeah, Mr. Terrific's next, one of the books that was not well received.
No,
at the beginning of the New 52. So, but have you read it?
I have not read any
Neither
of it.
I know,
and like that and Static Shock, one of the first two books to be canceled in the New 52. Yep. And yep. I've read the last issue of Static Shock, and that's it. And I have not read any of the
Are you looking
Terrific
forward
stuff. I just
to
know
reading Mr.
By
Terrific.
The end, he somehow gets to Earth too.
Yeah. Are you looking forward to reading Mr. Terrific? Because
I actually am, because I
like
Mr.
These
Terrific.
Things. Yeah, I like Mr. Terrific, too, and I always like going back and reading ones that we had no inkling about. Also, you know me. I always want to read it and think, okay, I'm the one who's going to get it.
Exactly.
I'm going to be the one who's
going to get it. This is going to be a book that was written specifically for Jim Werner.
Yeah. I'm going to be like, Mr. Terrific, I'm going to be able to explain Eric from a 4.5 up to a 9.8. It's going to happen. But yeah, if you want to go and listen to that early, go over to Patreon. We also have a bunch of other things going. But we're done here. Eric, what do we say at the end of this particular podcast?
That's the New 52, and now we're through.